If you'll take your Bible this morning, turn to one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Mark chapter 5. You know, the neat thing about it being a pastor is you get to choose the passage of Scripture you're going to preach from. Well, actually, the Lord does, but the Lord gives you the desires of your heart as well, amen? Mark 5 has always been one of my favorite passages of Scripture. There's so much there, but as I was just reading it again, there was something else that the Lord just, different perspective on this passage of Scripture the Lord brought out that I want to share with you this morning. Mark chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse number 21, down through the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Jesus, Peter, and James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, seeth a tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel rose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we pray and, Lord, just plead with you this morning and by faith come to you this morning that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, through thy word, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Many times when we read through the Gospels and we read what Jesus Christ was doing and how he ministered to different people, the majority of the time as you read through the Gospel, it's Jesus Christ dealing with one situation, one person, one family. For instance, last Sunday night, and by the way, I'm just going to put a plug in once more for last Sunday night's message. If you did not hear last Sunday night's message, and I did not preach it, Pastor Donnie did, you need to go online and listen to it. It is one of the most powerful messages I have ever heard in my life. And I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it again. I've thought about it all week, and all week it's been upon my heart, and it's just been encouragement to me. But it was Jesus dealing with one circumstance, one family, Lazarus. And the majority of the time, as you read through the Gospels, you see Jesus Christ dealing with this person or this person, this person. What's interesting about this passage is that it's like it's an intersection of life. For there's two situations, two people, two events at the same time, and Jesus ministers to them both. You know, life is very much just like another book I would suggest someone writing about is how life is just reflected in the way we travel, the way we go drive down the street and go through just local travel. Because we all travel. We all travel to get here, didn't we? Right? I don't think anybody slept in the auditorium last night. But we all travel. And you know, travel is interesting. You ever stop and think about it? All right, we all travel so much throughout our lives. And I was thinking about this in relation to this passage of Scripture, and particularly because something took place Friday afternoon that was just kind of humorous and kind of unique. But, well, Friday afternoon, my wife texted me. I was somewhere else, and she texted me, and she just was wondering what my plans were, and she says, I'm going to Goodwill. Now, I hardly ever go to Goodwill. So I all of a sudden said to myself, you know, I'm going to surprise her. I'm going to meet her at Goodwill. And so I drove from where I was, and I pulled up into the Goodwill in Norwich, and I pulled into the parking lot, and I saw her vehicle there. I said, oh, she's there. Good. So I walk in, and to my surprise, I didn't first see my wife. I saw Brooke. I'm saying, wait a minute, what's Brooke doing at Goodwill? And then I see Kelly. I'm saying, I'm not at church. This isn't church. This isn't, you know, Goodwill is a far cry from church. And then I saw my wife. And what's everybody doing at Goodwill? It gets better. So, by the way, I'm a supporter of Goodwill now because I got the most comfortable new pair of dress shoes for $12. All right? Not every day you buy a pair of new dress shoes and they're already worked in and comfortable and everything, but these are great, all right? And so then I'm walking out, and I walk out the front door, and you know who's coming into Goodwill? Nano. I mean, I said, wow. We all came from different places, and we all met at this intersection called Goodwill. And it started me thinking about how we go through life, and it's much like we travel. You know, in Mark chapter 5, there's a lot of people in this story. I mean, there's a whole multitude, there's a whole throng of people, there's a mass of people. And then there's Jesus, and then there's his disciples with him. And then there's Jairus, and then there's this other woman. But you know, we could entitle this message The Intersection of Life. Because you know, as you travel, as you go to different places, and we all go have our roots and everything else. When I go to Willimantic, for instance, when I go to Willimantic, I do not go up 395. I do not go up Route 32 because to me that's the stressful way to go. And I try and I don't want to go there. It's just too stressful. There's too much traffic on 395. 32 is a nightmare. And by the way, it's too expensive. You say, too expensive? Yeah, because every time I go Route 32, I got to go by contractor. I got to go by all these other places. And one day I stopped and it cost me $3,500 because I bought a machine on the way by. So it's just too expensive and too stressful to go up Route 32. And then you get that big hill it's just too stressful. So whenever I go towards Willimantic, I go through Salem. And because it's just, to me, it's more peaceful. You go through the country. But you know, I was thinking about this. It's interesting. You go down Route 85 or up Route 85, and you come to Salem, well, not Four Corners. It's a roundabout now. But you know, someone ought to do a study on that roundabout. Because I figured something out. Not only did they create a roundabout, but there's something really weird about that. All right? Because listen, if you are coming from this direction, now supposedly in a roundabout, everybody's supposed to look out for everybody else, right? You're all supposed to yield. You ever stop and think about that? If everybody's supposed to yield, how's anybody going to get anywhere? But it doesn't work that way on this roundabout. If you're coming from this direction up Route 85, somewhere in your mind, in your thoughts, you know you have the right of way. You ever notice that? Everybody coming from this direction to that roundabout just flies through. I do it. Well, maybe not everybody, but I do. I just say, you know what? I just go straight over the median, just straight ahead, right? But then you notice everybody coming from like the Gad Boys from down Route 82. Everybody stops. I want to put a banner up. There is no stop sign here. Because if you're coming from like Gad Boys direction, everybody slows down, everybody stops, and they wait for 5 minutes to make sure it's open before they go through. Now, if you're coming from Salem, you really slow down and you just look, and everybody's real, you know, real conscious. But if you're coming from Route 11, no one stops from that direction either. Because, you know, you're coming off Route 11, you're saying, I'm not going around the roundabout. I'm just going down Route 85, so I don't need to worry about this. And I just take a right and keep going and zip into Dunkin' Donuts and the pawn shop and keep going. But here's my thing. When I'm driving up Route 85 there, when I come to that roundabout, now I get a decision. I got a split-second decision to make. Which way am I going to go? Because, you see, going up to Willimantic, I've got options right there. All right? I can go straight through on Route 85 up through Salem, but school might be in session. Those blinking yellow lights might cause me to slow down. And, you know, so, okay, maybe not. It's shorter that way, but I don't know. I can go Route 11. Route 11's a little faster, but it's boring. You notice every time you drive up Route 11, you always look at those beaver dams on the right? There's never, ever a beaver on those beaver dams. Beavers do not exist in Salem, all right? But then you have the other option. You can go up Route 82, and you can cut up by Gad Boys Farm, and you go up that way, and that's a nice scenic, and there's always deer, construction, everything else. So I make a split-second choice. Am I going 85? Am I going 11? Am I going up by Gad Boys? Which way am I going? But here's the thing. And I go that way because it's just, to me, it's more relaxing. It's more peaceful. So then you go up and you go through Colchester, and now you have to come through this one spot. It's called Lebanon. If you're not from, I mean, there's a lot of people familiar with Lebanon. It's a nice, quaint little place. But once again, it's one of those weird places. I don't mean this town is weird. If you're from Lebanon, I don't mean you're weird. But there's an intersection right in the middle of Lebanon. Now, there's probably only 10 people that live in Lebanon. I mean, it's probably less than Salem. So you wouldn't think there'd be much traffic in Lebanon, Connecticut. But, you know, there's times where you come to that four-way intersection, and it's busy. How can it be that in Lebanon, Connecticut, you can arrive at this four-way stop, and there'll be four cars in line from every direction? There aren't that many cars in Lebanon. And what I found, something even more unique happens, that when you pull up to this intersection, it seems like everybody pulls up to the stop sign at exactly the same time. So now, where's your driver's handbook? Who's got the right of way? Right? The guy on the right? No, wait a minute. He pulled up the same time as me. The guy on the other side? I'll tell you who's got the right of way every time. It's the truck driver coming from the other direction that's coming up the hill, because you know what? He might be coming to that stop sign, but he's not really stopping because he doesn't want to stop all the way to. So just watch out. But there's always a problem. Every time I come to that stop sign and there's cars and it's like you're pulling up at the same time, there's always a state trooper sitting right there. And I always get this thought in my mind, or a Lebanon police officer. He's watching to see who doesn't give someone the right of way. So I always wait till it goes all the way around the circle, and then I take a left. But you know, this is what this story is like. It's an intersection. And And that intersection is Jesus Christ. But I want us to look at this story, this account this morning, and realize how it really applies and pictures our life. Because there's something very interesting here. In Mark chapter 5, and the first thing we're going to see is the path that brought these people to the same intersection. All right? The path. You know, if we were to just have everybody stand up, boy, the paths that brought us here are so different, aren't they? Right? Some people, you've been here since 1842. Right? You're part of the woodwork. All right? Some of you were born here. You weren't born at L&M. You were born at Lakes Palm Baptist Church, right? Some people moved into the area because of work. Some people transferred with the military. Some people came from different countries, different states. All different circumstances brought us together. You know what's interesting about Mark chapter 5? It's the same picture, that their paths were so different. But here's what's interesting. In Mark chapter 5, I just want to share with you what really just got me thinking about this. Verse number 25, it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood, how many years? 12 years. 12 years, okay? Now go down in verse number 42. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of what? 12 years. Ever stop and think about that? 12 years. You know what? Really, that's just a little nugget there that's showing us that there was 12 years that was taking place in these different people's lives before they came to this intersection. Just like your life and my life, that we're here this morning, but there's been a lot of years before this that have taken place. Just like when you go down the road and you come to an intersection. You came from different directions, but all of a sudden everybody's at the same intersection. And you know, when we think of the path that brought them to this intersection, there's a big contrast here between these individuals. There's a contrast of who they were. There's a contrast of events. Let's just go back 12 years from this day, from this moment, 12 years. 12 years in their lives, in the life of Jairus, in the life of this woman. Let's just step back in time 12 years and think about now, maybe not on the same day, but it says 12 years, so it's the same year. What a difference. You have one man that, well, first of all, they're just different people. You have Jairus. He's a well-known man. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He's a man that's achieved a position and a purpose. And in this year, on this year, 12 years ago, boy, what an event took place. What an event. What a joyous event, because all of a sudden they had a baby girl. She's 12 years old now, but 12 years ago, man, they were at the hospital having a baby girl. What a wonderful event. And all of a sudden, their life is filled with joy, right? Give them 12 years. But anyway, all of a sudden, their life is filled with joy. On this day, their baby is born. But it could very well be that that same day, another woman, her name's not written down. There's no mention of whether she had an important status or position. Or, in fact, there's no mention whether or not she even had a family or not. It just says a woman, a certain woman. Doesn't mention a husband, doesn't mention children, just a woman. What a difference in who they were. You have a man named Jairus, his wife, and this day they're having a child. And boy, it's a happy day. This day, not a happy day. All of a sudden, she's got an issue. She's bleeding. She's got an issue of blood. Same year, 12 years earlier. And life goes on. Just think of the different paths of their lives, if you will, in a very general sense. In their life, they've got a newborn baby. And boy, life is good. He's got a position in the synagogue. He's a ruler. He's got established in the community. They've got a family. And by the way, this was his only daughter. One girl. And you could just imagine what it was like with a little girl growing up, and you got the first birthday and the second birthday and the third birthday, and life is going on, and all those joyous events of having a little girl. And their life is, you could say, is going down a track of just normal, happy, joyous family life with one girl. No brothers or sisters to get upset about, right? I mean, life is good. You can just spoil, enjoy her. Yeah, I mean, life is going good. But on the other hand, this other lady, look what it says. Verse 26, 12 years. She suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had. Nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. From that same moment in time, 12 years ago, one family's life is just going down the normal path of joy and happiness as you have a little girl and she's beginning to grow. She's 12. Life's good. Another woman, it all starts at the same year. It's not getting better. Getting worse. Getting worse. Doesn't say how many doctor's appointments she had. But every doctor's appointment is bad news again, bad news again, bad news again. Write another check. Because insurance was just as bad then as it is now. Right? Nothing's getting better. Rather grew worse. Spent all that she had. And then all of a sudden, 12 years later, they come to this intersection. You see, because the paths were different. One was coming from the south, one was coming from the north, one was coming from the east, one was coming from the west. Their paths were different. But all of a sudden, 12 years later, they got a connection. And the connection was that whether it was 12 years in coming or one day in coming, because it doesn't really say how this girl got sick, but she's sick at the point of death. But all of a sudden, there's a connection in these lives of these people. And the connection was they had a need that was greater than themselves. They had a need. I mean, she's had a need for 12 years. It's been getting worse and worse. But all of a sudden, this family now has a need, and it's this little girl, 12 years old, and all of a sudden, she's lying at home at the point of death. And it was this need that made the connection in the story in Mark chapter 5. And you know, we come from different paths. But we all have needs. You might have a need that's been going on for years. Or you might have something that just came up. But you know what? When it's your need, it becomes a priority, doesn't it? You see, when we talk about this certain woman, her need to her was really more important than his need. To Jairus, his need was really more important to her, because when it's your life, it's your life. When it's your need, it's your need. And the rest of the world is going on. There's a throng around the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a multitude. There's Jesus. There's the disciples. There's people all around. But this is my life. This is my need. And it's right now. It might have been a long time coming. It might have just risen up just in the last night. But this is my need. And all of a sudden, it's a priority. that's pressing heavily upon me. And whether it's a woman that has tried every which way to get it fixed, nothing happened. Or whether it's a ruler of the synagogue that realizes and understands that he needs more help than he could ever hope to give. It's a need. I remember one day that I took a friend that I had led to the Lord, and he wanted to donate a kidney. And he's at home in glory now because he was sick, but he wanted to donate a kidney. He just was willing to donate a kidney. I remember going down to Manhattan with him to the kidney transplant center down in the middle of Manhattan. And what an experience it was. We were there most of the day as he was getting interviewed and tests and everything else. And so I was just hanging out as an observer. I didn't have a kidney problem. I was just there giving him a ride. And yet I had the opportunity to sit in a room with a waiting room on the, I don't know what floor it was, of this big, massive kidney center down in Manhattan. But I had the opportunity to sit in a room with all these unique individuals that are brought together for one purpose, either to receive a kidney or donate a kidney. And it was amazing. It was really fascinating to just look at the uniqueness of the people and then hear their stories, why they were there. I remember there was an elderly man there, and he was decked out in a full just Pittsburgh Steelers leather NFL jacket. I mean, everything just shouted Pittsburgh Steelers. Who said amen? And right across the row was a Giants fan who was not saying amen. And then, of course, there's the loudmouth Patriots fan on the other side of the room. That would be me. But, you know, people with all their different perspectives on sports. But then you started to listen to their stories. I remember there was a mother and her daughter. Her daughter was about college age. And here was a mom who was there because she was going to donate her kidney to her daughter. And I remember other people. There were other people there that were waiting to receive kidneys, or people that had received kidneys. I remember there was one girl there, a college age student. She was there and she was all by herself. And this mother and daughter started to talk to her, and I heard her story. These are stories that you just marvel at. College student had a friend in college that was on a list to receive a kidney. And here's this girl, found out that she was the right type. She was there by herself, had not told her parents, had not told anybody else. She was there just by herself because she had a friend in college and she was going to give her kidney for this friend in college. And she didn't want anybody else to know because she said, I don't want anybody else to know at this point because there'll be a lot of people trying to talk me out of it. There'll be a lot of people won't agree with it. She says, but I want to do this for my friend. And I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing, isn't it, right? I was downstairs, and I went downstairs to another place, and I was sitting in another waiting room, and this lady from down Atlanta, Georgia way was up because her daughter was in need of a kidney, and her daughter was just very unsure and just was hesitating on the whole thing and everything else. And then I had an opportunity to talk with this lady, and she was a Christian lady, and just encouraged her faith and trust in the Lord. And she said to me, thank you so much for just for just ministering and sharing scripture with me and encouraged me. And she says, I'm going to go back to Atlanta and I'm going to watch your services online from Atlanta, Georgia. But all those people from all these different places, from Atlanta, Georgia, from different places, from Connecticut, ages and different circumstances, all brought together because of one thing, a kidney. A kidney. And you know, we can come from all different paths of life. But many times, that connection that we have is a need that we have. And Jairus had a need. His daughter's laying at the point of death. Unexpectedly, 12 years, they've been enjoying life with their little girl. But now, she's dying. Here's a woman, unknown, unnamed. Who knows if she had family with her? Who knows? Well, the Lord knows, but we don't. But for 12 years, just been getting worse and worse and worse. And all of a sudden, they come to this intersection where Jesus was. And so, first of all, we see the path. But you know, they had something in common. They had a connection. The connection was they had a need that they couldn't fix and no one else could fix. And there's times in our life we need to understand the needs we have. We can't fix them. But there is someone that can, and his name is Jesus. And the second thing I want us to see is their pursuit. Because their pursuit is important. You see, the reason they came to this intersection, what started them to this intersection was their need. But the reason they came to this intersection was because they were pursuing the same thing, Jesus Christ. You see, if you look in Mark chapter 5, look at verse number 22. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Jairus comes this day, and Jairus has a need. His daughter, his only girl, his little girl, 12 years old, she's at the point of death. Mom's at home with her. The multitude gathered around the house. He didn't go to the synagogue. He went to a person. He went to a person named Jesus. When he saw him, when he saw Christ, remember, this is a ruler of the synagogue. This is a big thing, folks. But he says, that's the one that can help. And you know, when your need becomes so great that you know that only Jesus Christ can help, you know, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. This ruler of the synagogue, this Jairus, he's not worried about the council at this point. He's not worried about his neighbors. He's not worried about his friend. He says, I've got a need. That need is my daughter. Jesus is the one that can help. I'm going to Jesus. When it comes right down to it, folks, we need to get to the place where I understand my need needs to be met by Jesus. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or what anybody else says, what anybody else cares. My need in my life can only be met by Jesus, and I am going to seek him. That's where we need to be. You know, it was the same thing for this woman. Different path. Connection was the need. Her pursuit was the same. Look what it says. Verse number 27. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. And her pursuit was the same. Here you have a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, and his daughter's at home dying. He comes and he says, I'm right here at this point in my life, at this point, at this intersection, to see him. Here comes this lady from the other direction. Crowd around.
She says, I've been going through this for 12 years. I heard Jesus is going to be here. I am here for one reason alone. Not to see the disciples. I really don't care a snap about Peter, James, John, or anybody else. I want to see Jesus. I don't care about the throng. I don't care who's in my way. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to get to this one because this is the one that can help me, and his name's Jesus. But you know what? Not only was their pursuit focused, it was focused. And it was focused on a person. And our pursuit needs to be focused on the person of Christ. Too many people get their focus misplaced. They get their focus on others. They get their focus on the pastor. Pastor and I used to sit around looking for our magic wand. We just looked in the closet. It ain't there. We would chuckle in his office. Where'd that thing go? Because if I can just get that magic wand, I can come down. I can just go, bam! Right? And Jack's life is all good. Never happens, does it, Jack? Right? That's because our focus needs to be on the only person that can help, Jesus. I'm glad of that. But their focus was not only a pursuit. I mean, their pursuit was not only a focus on a purpose, but their pursuit was by faith. I want you to notice something in this portion of Scripture. I want you to notice in this account. In verse number 23, here we see the testimony of Jairus' faith. Because in verse 23, he comes, he sees Jesus, he falls at his feet, humbles himself before the Lord, and then he says this, he besought him greatly. I mean, Listen, he came as a dad. He came as a man. He didn't come as a ruler of a synagogue. He didn't come with a position, a title. He didn't come with wealth or fame. He came as an individual, a man, a dad, a husband, whose daughter was dying. And he says, I'm coming to Jesus. And he comes to Jesus. He falls at his feet, beseeches him greatly, and pleads with him. And this is what he said. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. This man came with faith. His faith was in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, come. My daughter's dying. She's sick. This is a priority. And if you come, and when you come, touch her, that she may be healed. And he didn't say will, maybe. He said she shall live. That word shall is one of the strongest words in the Bible. And Jairus says, I know, I believe that when Jesus Christ comes to my house, when he walks in that door, when he places his hand upon my daughter, she will live. You see, he had faith in a person that he knew and believed would take care of his problem. He says, she'll live. Boy, that's simple faith. Because his faith was on one person, Jesus Christ. You know, this woman, same faith. Look what she says. Verse number 27. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I might be... Oh, no. She didn't say I might be whole. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Same faith. She says, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. You see, folks, understand something. It's not about how strong or weak your faith is. It's about who your faith is in. Who your faith is in. You know, someone gets sick, or someone has an illness, or someone has a problem. First thing is, what doctor are you going to? Well, I'm going to this one because I heard this one's the best. I'm going to this one because I heard this one's the best. Well, I heard this one is, you know, and listen, when it comes to our real needs, there is only one, and his name is Jesus. He's not one of many. He's not one of different options. He is the way, the truth, the life. There is no other. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. There is no other options. You know, these people that say, hey, give Jesus a chance. No. Don't give Jesus a chance. Give Jesus the honor he deserves. He is the way, the truth, the life. There is no other way. There is no other option. And so they come. Their path comes from different directions, but their pursuit is the same. Their pursuit is focused on the person of Christ. Their pursuit is one of faith. And you know what? They come to the same intersection. And they leave that intersection of Christ with the same praise. Because you know what? Jesus Christ, first of all, cared for them both. One of the most beautiful things about Mark chapter 5 is this. That boy, it's a busy intersection. Just stop and think about it. Not only did they have problems, not only did they have... Think of all the other people. Think of all, I mean, there's a multitude. I mean, just look at us, a multitude right here in this room, right? And every one of us has, listen, every one of us has needs. And if you don't this morning, hang on, because tomorrow you will. And yet, here's the amazing thing. That even though there's a multitude of needs, Jesus cares specifically about you. And never gets distracted. You know how that is. Distraction, right? Distraction. Boy. Distractions come from all over the place, don't they? But they never affect the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, in verse number 22, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. You know why? Because Jesus cared about this man. Listen, 1 Peter 5:7 is still in the book, folks. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Right? What did we learn last Sunday night? I told you, this message is still rumbling around in my heart. Lazarus is sick. Lazarus is dying. They send for Jesus, and the first thing he says, he loved him. Right? He loved him. Greatly beloved. He loved Mary, he loved Martha, he loved Lazarus. Hey, read Psalm 139 sometime. Read Psalm 139. How precious are the thoughts of the Lord to you and me. Wow, they're more than the sand on the shore. Right? How precious is this? Listen, the world might be a busy place, but I know this, that my Lord cares about my life personally. And he says, okay, Jairus, I'll go with you. I care about you, right? All of a sudden, there's a throng. All of a sudden, there's a late. All of a sudden, there's a distraction. Hey, listen, he cared about this lady too. He says, who touched my garment? And then he says in verse number 34, when they tell him, and she comes and falls down at his feet and tells him the truth. In verse 34, he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You know, he didn't yell it. He didn't just dismiss her. He cared about this woman. He says, daughter. Imagine that. Here's Jairus, who cares about his daughter. Wants Jesus to go to his house to take care of his daughter. And Jesus turns and speaks to this woman and says, daughter. You know, I think in the process there that not only was Jesus ministering to this lady, saying he cared to her, but he was letting Jairus know that he still cared about his daughter. So much here. But I tell you this morning, I know this. I don't know how great your need is, but I do this. I know how great the love and care of your Lord is for you in your time of need. And so they had a testimony. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. He cares for me. He cares for me. But you know, they had another testimony. They came to this intersection. Nothing was working. Nothing was working. 12 years, getting worse. 12 years, all of a sudden. Not only is she at the point of death, but now, they come and say, listen, don't trouble her anymore. She's already dead. And yet, they came to the right intersection. Because they left with a praise. I mean, they left Mark chapter 5 with a praise. I know they had to get to his house. But they had a praise. Number one, that Jesus cares. Because listen, if Jesus doesn't care, there is no hope. But Jesus does care. Go to Romans chapter 5. No, I meant in your spare time. If you're wondering if Jesus cares, just go to the cross and just look at his hands. He cares. Of course he cares. There's no denying how much Jesus cares. He went to the cross for you. He died for you. Paul said he loved me. He gave himself for me. For me. But not only did Jesus care, but you know what Jesus did? He conquered. He conquered. I was going to say cured, but he conquered. Look at verse number 29. Straightway. I love that. Straightway. The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Straightway. I was working on some plumbing the other day, and you know, I'd rather work on plumbing than electricity. It's safer. But anyways, working on some plumbing, and you know, it never fails. You do all your plumbing, and then you turn on those things to let the water go through, right? And hopefully there's no leaks, right? That's you. At first you don't want any leaks. I mean, that's just no leaks. So I'm on this ladder and I'm down here turning the valve, and there's PEX fittings right up. PEX pipe is wonderful. Most of the time. So I turn on the valve and water all on my face. Leaks. See, it's PEX. How do you mess up PEX? You know, how do you mess up a PEX fitting? Well, your pastor can. See, there's a clamp that you put over the pipe. And there's a thing, you're supposed to ratchet down the clamp to tighten the pipe. Well, if you don't ratchet down the clamp, hello, right? I put this T on the pipe, and I forgot to ratchet down 3 clamps on the pipe. So when I turn the water on, well, of course, there's leaks all over the place. Hey, you know what? 12 years, this lady had an issue of blood. She touched the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body she was healed at that point. Straightway, immediately, no leaks. I tell you what, you don't think that lady was rejoicing? You don't think that lady went away leaping and praising God? Of course she did. For 12 years, she had spent her life, her money, her efforts, everything, and nothing worked. One moment, Jesus Christ conquered all her problems. One moment. Straightway, God. Because that's what Jesus can do. Now, I might remind you, go back and listen to last Sunday night's message. Because sometimes Jesus says no. That's why you need to go back to last Sunday night's message. But you know what? He comes to the house of this man. People laugh and scorn, and he says, yeah, take a hike. He goes in with the father, the mother, reaches down. Look what he says. Takes the damsel by the hand, says to her, Talitha Kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say to thee, arise. And straight, there it is again, straightway, immediately. The damsel arose and walked. And they were astonished. She's 12 years old. They were astonished with the great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. And I love verse 43. It's one of my favorite conclusions to a passage. And he commanded that something should be given her to eat. You know, that just shows the love of the Lord for this little girl too. Hey, you know what? She needs to be fed. Get her some food, right? Someone run to McDonald's. All right. He healed her and he says, feed her. And so you know what, folks? Life is just busy. I mean, there's so many people in this world. And it's like we're traveling down roads and highways. And we can try and stay off the stressful roads if we want. You can try all you want to. Just not go on 395. I remember when 395 was, there was no one on it back in the 80s. You could drive down 395 and only see one or two cars. Now, no one wants to drive down 395. You can take the scenic road. But you know what? There comes a point in time where you know that the need that you have needs to be met by someone greater than yourself. And that person is Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. Whether it's something that's been just going on for a long while or something that just come up, the answer is the same person. It's Jesus. The same intersection. There's only one intersection, and that's Christ, where things get fixed. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so paths are different. But you know what? The pursuit needs to be the same. A pursuit of faith. Faith in a person named Jesus Christ. And that pursuit of faith in Jesus Christ will lead you from that intersection with a praise upon your heart that you can give Him glory for what He has done. Let's pray.